Many Christians would report that they do not have assurance of eternal life. Would you like assurance? Would you like to know where to look for assurance? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently in a series as we go through 1 John, and we're almost to the end. We're up to chapter 5, verse 6 through 13. Today, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through an interesting discussion on these verses. Now, I'm going to come back at the end of the program to tell you about some free resources we have available on our website, so stay tuned for that as well. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar.
And we're continuing our 1 John series. We're coming to the end here. We're in chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. And I was wondering, Bob, if you could read that for us.
Sure. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one.
Why is it important to have three witnesses, first of all?
Okay, well, in the Old Testament, in any capital case, a matter could only be decided with two or three witnesses. So if someone said, I saw this person commit murder, but there wasn't a second witness, they would not be convicted. They had to have two or three witnesses, and here you've got three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood.
And these three witnesses, what are they witnessing to?
Okay, they're witnessing to the promise that the one who believes in Jesus has everlasting life, or to put it the way John does in 1 John 5:1, a few verses earlier, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
So you have the Spirit, and you have the water, and you have the blood. What are they doing? Because these aren't conventional witnesses that you'd find in a law court.
Well, the Holy Spirit, whom John calls truth, and of course God is true, therefore all three members of the Godhead are true. You'll remember in the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus said that he was going to send the Spirit, and the Spirit would guide people to believe in Jesus, mm-hmm. to believe the promise of John 3:16 or 1 John 5:1. Mm-hmm. And so the Spirit, who is truth, is one of the witnesses that the ministry of Jesus and the promise of life that Jesus gives, that's true.
Right.
When it talks about the water, that ultimately looks at not just his baptism, mm-hmm. but his entire ministry, which culminates in the blood. The water is looking at his 3.5 years of ministry, and it's saying all the works that Jesus did testify to the fact that his promise that he who believes in him has everlasting life, that's true. We see that in John chapter 5, where he talks about the fact that his very works testify, and I think that's what the water is talking about. And the blood here, well, that looks at the cross. That was the ultimate fulfillment of what God the Father sent Jesus to do, right? He said, God has given me this work to do. And then when he's dying on the cross, he says, it is finished, paid in full. So when Jesus died on the cross, that's also the ultimate proof that the promise of everlasting life to the believer is true.
All right, so it's basically the water represents the baptism at the beginning of his ministry, and the Holy Spirit was there descending like a
right.
dove, and John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, this is the Lamb of God that takes
right.
away the sins of the world. And then the blood is the end of his ministry
right.
on the cross when
right.
he's dying. And then the Holy Spirit is just involved in all of that.
Right.
In John, the Gospel of John, the only book in the New Testament that says it was written for an evangelistic purpose, in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, it says, all these signs were written so that you might believe in Jesus and may have life in his name.
Right.
So these things are signs. These things are witnesses to get you to believe in Jesus for eternal life. That's what John's saying, right?
Right. And I think the reason it fits here in the book is because ongoing assurance that we have everlasting life is vital to ongoing fellowship with God.
Right.
If we're going to love one another, which the previous context has been talking about, well, we need to know that God loves and accepts us. Therefore, assurance remains a vital aspect of our fellowship with God. Now, the purpose of 1 John is not about assurance. We saw in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it's about fellowship with God. But this section, verses 6 through 13, is all about assurance because assurance is a vital part of fellowship.
Right. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. So if you're going to accept men's word, you should definitely accept God's word, which is 100% reliable.
Right. If you've ever been on a jury, you know you weigh out the evidence and you listen to the witnesses and you determine a verdict. Well, human witnesses are fallible, but God is infallible. So when God testifies to the truthfulness of Christ's promise of eternal life, we know that is true.
Verse 10, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. What does that mean?
Well, that basically means I have the truth of John 3:16 in me because I believe that promise when I have assurance. Therefore, I am a witness for Christ. It's within me. And if I open my mouth and tell people, if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life, I have that witness within me.
And he who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life and this life is in his Son. That's the John 3:16 promise
right.
You've been talking about.
Right.
All these, the testimony of the blood, the testimony of the water, the testimony of the Spirit, all comes down to this in verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life or everlasting life, and this life is in his Son.
Yeah, now the us here doesn't refer to all of humanity. It refers to John, the apostolic circle, and the readers who were born again, mature believers. But as he's going to say in the very next verse, the person who doesn't have the Son doesn't have the life. This is like John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Right. So verse 12, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So there is no universalism here.
Right. No matter how loving, caring, no matter how nice an atheist or an agnostic might be, if they do not have Jesus Christ, they do not have everlasting life. It's only the person who has come to faith in Jesus that has everlasting life. And it's vital that the readers who know that at the time John's writing maintain that so that when Christ appears, they'll have boldness at his coming.
All right, let's continue on. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So we know who he's writing to.
Right.
That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
I think the context is clear that they already know they have everlasting life. He's already saying in verse 11, this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life. And in chapter 2 and in verse 25, he said, this is the promise that he has promised us eternal life. Now, there were deceivers, chapter 2 and verse 26. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. He also calls them antichrists, who are trying to get them to lose their assurance. But at the point John is writing, they have assurance. So, just as the New King James supplies the word continue before believe, I would say we should have the word continue before the word know. Mm. So that I think what he's saying is this, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. In other words, right now they have the testimony of them. They believe the promise of everlasting life, that you may continue to know that you have eternal life. In other words, that false teachers are not going to push them off the promise, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And so what he's saying here is that they are going to continue to have assurance of their everlasting life, and they're going to continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, which means, ultimately, in this context, to live in a manner consistent with Christ, because we love him because he first loved us, right. Chapter 4 and verse 19.
Right, that's our basic motivation for the Christian life. It's not fear. It's not trying to earn heaven. Most basically, it's we know that he loves us. And that security gives us a motivation to love others.
Yeah, that's why assurance is so vital. In other words, the whole point in 6 through 13 is about assurance. And notice verse 13, how it starts out. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may continue to know, that you may continue to believe.
Right. So these things, what are these things?
Well, these things refer to verses 6 through 13.
So it's not the whole book.
No, exactly. And you have the same thing occurring in chapter 2 and verse 26. these things I've written to you, which looks at the section starting in 2:15 to 2:25. And then you also have in chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. That's looking at 1:5 through 10. But the final time where he's giving a purpose statement is in chapter 1 and verse 3. That's where he says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And now 1:4, and these things we write to you that our joy may be full.
So there's different purpose statements in John.
Right. And the overall purpose statement is found in 1:3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. And this one is about assurance in particular.
Right. And it fits under the overarching purpose statement, because the overarching purpose statement is that you may have fellowship with us and with God.
Mm-hmm.
One way to do that is to continue to have assurance of everlasting life.
What do you say to someone who is lacking, who's struggling with assurance right now?
The key to assurance is that you need to look to Christ. Do not look to yourself. If you look within, you're going to find out that you're imperfect. And you're going to find out that there's no basis for assurance in your works. In order to have assurance, you must believe the testimony of God. And what does this passage tell us? That life is in his Son. So continue to know that you have eternal life by faith in Christ, and continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, so that one day soon you'll hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for that great discussion about assurance. I know that we all need to be reminded of these things from time to time. Well, maybe this is new and fresh to you. If it is, I hope you'll come join us on our website, because we've got lots of free resources that talk about this exact subject of assurance. In fact, one great resource that we have available for free right now is called The Epistles of John. This is a book written by the late Zane Hodges, a fantastic Bible commentator. It is free for download. It's an ebook, and you can have it today. Just go to faithalone.org. It'll be right there on the homepage. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other resources. We have a free full-color print magazine that will show up in your mailbox. All you have to do is subscribe. In addition to that, we have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts. You can even find information about upcoming live events that we're doing around the country. Maybe you'd like to partner with our ministry, and if that's the case, we would very much appreciate it. This is a ministry that is based on the generosity of listeners and readers just like you. So, if you'd like to give a tax-deductible gift to the ministry, you can do that at faithalone.org as well. Maybe you've got comments, questions, or remarks. If that's the case, you can reach us at radio@faithalone.org. That's our email. I'll say it again, radio@faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners. Well, tomorrow on the broadcast, we're going to be talking about what it means to pray for sinners, what to expect, and what not to expect. Hope you'll tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.